because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go. God bless
you. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsin Eye's summary of this week in, well, the Capitol in Wisconsin politics. J.R., if we had a band and a song, it'd be Hail to the Speaker, not Hail to the Chief.
First one from Wisconsin.
I know. Let's go back over his background a little bit. Okay, born in Janesville, father a lawyer, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And died when he was 16 years old.
Yes, died when he was 16. Let's see, graduate of Janesville Craig, Miami University of Ohio, married with three young children, his wife a former aide in the Capitol. And first
family lent to Democrats too.
Yeah. Worked first job with Senator Bob Casten.
Yeah. Went on to work with Jack Kemp, his mentor,
yes.
An aide on the Hill. Worked at a think tank or something like that, and then went back and won in 1998.
Yeah.
So yeah.
At the age of 28.
One of the youngest speakers in the history, like what, in 150 years?
Yep.
Something along there.
Yep.
Give or take a few decades.
Got 63% of the vote in the 2014 elections. Chair of U.S. House Ways and Means, a job he said was the epitome of what he wanted. And the Republican candidate for vice president. Let's also not forget he wrote two books. The Way Forward, Renewing the American Dream, 2014. Young Guns, A New Generation of Conservative Leaders. Before we go any further, let's take a look at part of his speech after he was formally elected speaker yesterday.
I never thought I'd be speaker. But early in my life, I wanted to serve this house. I thought this place was exhilarating because here you can make a difference. If you had a good idea, if you worked hard, you could make it happen. You could improve people's lives. To me, the House of Representatives represents what's best of America, the boundless opportunity to do good. But let's be frank. The House is broken. We're not solving problems. We're adding to them. And I am not interested in laying blame. We are not settling scores. We are wiping the slate clean.
JR did some research. How long, what do you think is the average tenure of U.S. House Speaker since 1970?
Good question.
5.8 years.
Okay.
How do you think he compares? I mean, let's go back. Boehner, 5 years. Pelosi, kind of about one term, and the now convicted Mr. Hastert. Is it really a new era, you think? And does Paul have the charisma?
Good
to
questions.
Make it a new era?
One thing with Ryan is you go back to kind of November, December of last year when we talked about whether he'd run for president, and one of the ideas was that he would pass on running for president and be Ways and Means chair for 3 terms. That's the limit right now in the House. 3 terms, that's 6 years. After that, he would basically leave Congress and have time to either go with the private sector, be a think tank, whatever you want to do, and still be run for president in his 50s if he wanted to.
Yeah.
The question now is, well, does that plan or that outline get replaced by 5 more years as speaker?
Yeah.
And now, let's be honest, Republicans have the maps are drawn so well in most states, they shouldn't lose the House anytime soon. Now, there could be a wave of elections that would change that, but let's just, for sake of argument, say that Republicans hold on to it for the next 5 years. You can see Ryan filling out that term. But what's next? I don't think he wants to be in the House for life, or he was at least 6 months ago he didn't want to, 8 months ago he didn't want to.
Yeah.
But can he run for president after being Speaker? John Boehner said the other day, I think he knows this closes the door on running for president. Maybe it's assuming something because we haven't seen it happen in many, 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 many years. But could Ryan actually overcome the baggage, if you will, of running that caucus and to run for president? Maybe he can break the mold.
Did the Boehner budget deal, which he cut the 4 legislative leaders in the White House, cuts his budget deal, and Boehner called it the clean the barn deal, did that usher in a honeymoon period for
Absolutely.
Ryan?
It gives Ryan time for a couple of things. One, he doesn't have to try and whip votes on this kind of controversial budget deal, so there's that. Two, there's nothing really big on the plate right now for Congress. So in terms of like fiscal cliffs or government shutdowns, they bought him time until early 17. He has time now to work on these side deals with the Freedom Caucus and others to try and change the rules. He wants to have more of a bottom-up approach. He promised them that, so that was time to do that.
Yeah.
Talked about changing the motion to vacate the chair, which basically is a gun to the head of any speaker of the House, where at any moment anybody can file a motion
to take you out.
Leadership. So he wants to reform that. Now, what that's going to look like, we'll see, because there already was some balking by conservatives saying, we don't want that to go away. But it gives him time to show, I mean, this kind of leader, and this is our path forward, if you will, and deliver on some of his promises, these guys, of we're going to reform the system.
Do you think we're going to be seeing much of him in Wisconsin in the 1st District?
He keeps promising that he's not going to be in the road constantly raising money. Now, Boehner even raised money here in Wisconsin this fall at one point, came in, saw the cavalcade of cars, but didn't actually see him. But Ryan's saying, I'm going to spend time with my family. Well, what's that mean? He is a four-day in D.C., three-day in Janesville kind of guy right now, or has been. He says, I want to be home to see my kids, basketball and football games. I want to be home to hunt with them, spend time, be a good dad. Is he able to do that? Good question. He's going on all five of the TV shows on Sunday, the national shows. He's promised to be more of a communicator, if you will. So he's saying, I will be out there communicating the message, but I'm not going to be out there raising money constantly. We'll see how long he balances that. Again, if he's going to be chair or speaker for a while, how long can he do that? At some point, reality kind of hits home and you've got to figure out those demands of the job. How can he pull that off?
Do you think this makes him the de facto leader of the Wisconsin GOP party instead of Governor Walker?
Oh, I hadn't even really thought about that or asked anybody about that, to tell you the truth. I mean, he is more high profile right now. Walker's trying to rebuild his brand. Obviously, Brian's getting more attention going forward because he's the most basically the most powerful person we've had in Wisconsin history. I mean, if you think about it, he's closest in line of succession for president.
Third.
I mean, that's pretty impressive for a guy who's 45 from Janesville.
Yeah, so it's been a historic, meteoric rise. It's just going to be fascinating to watch.
And again, 2-3 weeks ago, he was saying, I don't want the job. And then it was, I don't want the job, then I'll do it if you do this. Then yesterday, saying, I enthusiastically embrace this position, this opportunity.
Well, you do politics full time. You think you're going to be able to get interviews with now Speaker Paul Ryan?
He did 20 minutes with Wisconsin media this morning, so I think he's still trying to tend the home fires, if you will. He's still got a district back home to worry about now. He's not going to lose that district anytime soon. It's a fairly Republican district. Yes, in a presidential year, he might be in the upper 50s or mid 50s, but he's not going to have to worry about the Janesville to Kenosha to Racine kind of like triangle, if you will, of his district. He'll be fine.
One final question. Do you think he'll play a large role in helping whoever is the presidential nominee of his party? Or does he have enough to worry about?
He's
got a 435-member house.
Well, the question, if you look at it, and some people pointed it out this week, that there is a huge possibility for Republicans right now to have a generational change of Ryan as the speaker, maybe a Rubio or a Cruz as the nominee. That would be
Rubio's
a huge—
Rubio's 44, Ryan's 47, Governor Walker 47, excuse me.
It could be a huge generational shift for conservatives. Now the question, what do you do with it? Can you connect with people in the middle? It would be a contrast to a Hillary Clinton running for president in her upper 60s. So
she just turned 68, and Speaker Pelosi is 75.
Don't forget, Republicans also Mitch McConnell, who's no spring chicken himself. So it's not like they're all a bunch of young bucks, but it could be a shift, if you will, for Republicans now.
So time to sing the verse of hail to the speaker.
I think he's doing okay this week.
Meanwhile, back in the Capitol, the Assembly passes the bill that would speed up the ability to hire and fire under the civil service system. Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald says, we're not going to get there till January. Is that a bad sign for this bill?
Not necessarily. Roger Roth, one of the co-authors, he's been called up to duty, so he's not around. It's kind of his bill. You want him there to vote for it, so that's one issue. The hang-up has been this ban the box provision. And under current law, depending on which administration it is, they have the ability to ask up front, do you have a criminal history? Mm-hmm. You don't have to, but you can if you want to. The ban the box, so you can't do that up front. Now, if you are applying to be a bank auditor, they can ask you, do you have a fraud conviction? They can ask you those kind of, that's kind of important. But the upfront question of do you have one that is qualified, that would be prohibited. The question is, Steve Noss in the Senate, chair of the committee that passed the bill, is very much adamant he wants to allow.
That has to be part of the process of applying for a state job.
He wants administration to have that. Steinecke has said, we don't want that in. We think the best person to get the job or give everybody equal shot up front, if you will.
Yeah.
The question becomes, is it a die on the hill type provision where the two houses can't meet in the middle somewhere on that? Or say, look, if you have to have it to pass a bill, we'll give up on that provision because there's X, Y, and Z we like better. Yep. That's the question.
That's true. Steinke's quote on that, we're not going to let any single provision spell the death of this bill. Mm-hmm. Okay, other subject. Senate Republicans caucused. I don't even think they were in the Capitol this week to talk about the GAB. Mm-hmm. After that, the State Journal quoted Mark Lyne, I don't think there's any sense of urgency, at least on my part. I'm still studying the options. Quoted Senator Tom Tiffany, it's more important to do it right than to hurry it. Mm-hmm. How big a trouble is the assembly version of the GAB bill in the Senate?
Excellent question. It seems like, first look at the dynamic of this Senate Republican caucus. We've talked about this before. You have kind of competing wings. Sometimes if you put pressure on one side of the balloon, you'll lose air on the other side. So there's that dynamic. Sometimes you have to have them just kind of stew a while and finally kind of come to a conclusion where they all get 17 members in the same direction. So yeah. There's that dynamic. The other one is the original bill from Dean Knutson in the Assembly had a provision that had, for the Ethics Commission, remember, it would be two commissions,
yeah.
The Ethics Commission would have retired judges have a role, a guaranteed role on that body. Leah Vookman, Senate co-author, said, no way. If you want to appoint a retired judge, fine, but I'm not going to have a requirement that you have those guys on the board. They've obviously been unhappy with the way the current board of the GAB has acted. So they pulled it out. Now they're colleagues of Vookmir's in the Senate who want it back in, but there are also other issues to kind of like sift out. So it's not like it's just that one thing, but it could be that, one, don't forget, the Assembly is much younger in terms of like experience in the Capitol. A lot of those guys weren't here when they approved the GAB in 2007 or 8, whenever it was.
It passed in 8, went into effect January of 2000.
Two, the Senate, you do have people who voted for this thing. So yes. You have people who say, I made a mistake. That's one issue. Two, if you look at the senators who are having issues with this, or at least being targeted for it, the Club for Growth this week did a robocall. Let's see, it was Harsdorff, Olson, Coles,
Petrowski. Yes.
Those four. Mark Lyne's talking about this. They're not in necessarily Ozaukee County deep red districts. They have more, not necessarily swing seats, but a little bit less Republican districts. They get stuff, they go to the grocery store and get grief about the GAB bill, the John Doe bill,
campaign finance bill.
Oh, the open records thing. It's much less of a base type district. So for them, there's more to consider than, hey, it's 70% red in my district. Let's go guns a blazing because my constituents, my base wants this done. The base wants this. The base wants this done. But for those guys, a little bit less of a passion, if you will, up there, and less cover for them as well. On that issue.
When does push come to shove for Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald on this issue? Because he wants to abolish GAB as much as Speaker Voss.
He would like to vote on it next week. That's the last week they meet until January. Here's a couple of complicating factors. So can they get the votes together by next week sometime? There's no guarantee they'll meet, but they have Monday through Thursday open. They come in any day to do it. There's that question. Two, if they wait till January, okay, now you have a window closing of getting prepared for the turnover, the changeover. Under the bill, the current GAB would handle the spring election mm-hmm. and circulation nomination papers for the fall election. Takes mm-hmm. them through June 30th of 2016. The new commissions would take effect the next day. Oh, by the way, though, the bill is amended to allow these commissions to kind of get up and running, have appointments made, figure out who's coming on board, and begin the transition. The more time you take, the smaller your window becomes for the transition to get up and running. You don't want guys to come in with little time to get acclimated and also be in charge of everything with a presidential election on the ballot, a Senate race on the ballot, on down the line. There's a time constraint, if you will.
So your interviews done after Senate GOPers caucused indicated that they hadn't come up with a compromise acceptable to the Vookmirs.
And asking around, they've been kind of tight-lipped about it. They don't want to talk what the details are. But, the judge thing has come up. You talk to some people like, well, it's not that big. We'll get there. We'll get there soon. Okay. Others like Mark Lyne and Tiffany saying, well, we're not going to rush. So. It's, again, the Senate Republican caucus sometimes has to stew, like simmer, like a good chili, if you will.
The deliberative house.
Yes, the deliberative house.
Well, what are you hearing on the campaign finance bill passed by the Assembly? Does that have any major hang-ups in the Senate?
It seems like a moving target at times. Depends on who you talk to and what day you talk to them, what the issue is. Some people don't like the doubling the contribution limit. Some people don't like, at times, the codifying the coordination being allowed on issue ads. That's now, the Supreme Court said that is allowed. That is not a universally held view, if you will, in mm-hmm. other courts. That's a little bit new territory. So it just kind of moves like what the target is. Some people are just unhappy about the idea of, again, taking all these votes and one after another and having to go back home and explain why you're doubling your contribution. Or allowing unlimited corporate limits or contributions to political parties and campaign committees.
Are some Senate GOPers asking, why are we opening the door to corporate limits, even though the spate of court decisions seem to do just that?
Again, and so for some people, the people who are really pushing this bill are saying, look, this bill codifies all these court decisions. You don't like it? Well, go talk to the courts. They've already told us this is what you're supposed to do. This is the roadmap for you. We're following the roadmap. Now, there are things they could do that they didn't, but for some folks, again, they're just unhappy with the way things are right now.
Yeah. Okay. Now, it is not the most important thing we're going to talk about, but you and I, well, we're journalists. We've been in this for a while. We like to read records of who goes to the governor's residence, who meets, because, you know, we taxpayers pay for it, and we provide the food and all that and pay the heating bills.
Yes.
So the Walker administration releases we're going to show one of the logs. It's handwritten, crossed out, not the most exact thing in the world. So what did you find interesting about the partial release of logs of who visited the executive residence?
Well, first set it up, it is allowed. The governor's office stressed that the GEB's guidance says you can have. It is your home, so you have various things you can do. You cannot have a fundraiser there, but you can have people come over to your home and talk about politics. That is quite okay.
And it's been done forever.
Ever. But you look at it, and you kind of have like occasional visits from political aides. All of a sudden, the week before the announcement, I think at least five people came in that week before for various visits. Rick Wiley, Kirsten Kukowski, Tom Evenson. Are some of the folks coming to talk about the
senior campaign aides to the presidential campaign.
So while I was campaign manager for the presidential campaign, Kukowski was chief spokesperson, communications director. So you saw that happening. People from his group, Our American Revival, coming in, but more in the spring. But it just shows you like the flurry of activity that built up, if you will, toward the announcement. One thing was interesting was there was a May 26th entry about a campaign meeting was planned that day, and a VIP was expected in all capital letters. So, it gives you a window.
Did you ever learn who that VIP was?
Depends on which person you want to pick out of the list of the visitors. But, it's hard to figure out some of it because, for example, Keith Gilkes' name was spelled incorrectly in one entry. Sometimes just had a first name, not a last name. But you could see that there was there was obviously a lot of work going into the build-up to Walker running for president.
Okay, but the omission that One Wisconsin Now highlighted, from what period did DOA say, oops,
November
we don't have
April?
Any records?
November to April, I
November
think
November to April.
Yeah.
Does that explanation of why they don't have records pass your own smell test?
Are you being a cynic or not?
we journalists, we have to be cynics.
Oh, you read the documents. They were pretty detailed from April on, so where were they? It's not going to sit well with those guys at One Wisconsin Now who are still raising a stink about the issue.
Well, okay. It's just interesting. I mean, you and I, it's just interesting to us who's visiting the governor, and I remember going through Doyle's and seeing who he had private dinners with, so it's just fascinating. Okay. Wisconsin and I had a chance this week to do a Newsmakers with Kitty Rose, Secretary of Health Services, and looking at the developments over MA, and by the way, MA, Medicaid, 21% of Wisconsin residents are now getting their health care through it. Costs a record $9.2 billion this year, up 10% in a year. But the presidential campaign is over, and 31 other states have adopted the Medicaid expansion. So let's just listen to when I put the question to Kitty Rhodes, is it time that Wisconsin expand Medicaid? As you know, 31 other states have found a way to expand Medicaid. The Democrats, waving that fiscal bureau memo, say we could get an additional $350 million in federal aid if we expanded.
The answer is no.
That was my question. Should Wisconsin reconsider its decision?
No.
Why?
Because we still have made the right decision. That is a temporary subsidy. And so you still have even more people enrolled on a reimbursement rate that you know is going to go down.
Governor Branstad in Iowa, Governor Kasich in Ohio, and Governor Pence in Indiana made the wrong decision.
I don't live there. I don't work there.
Yara, what am I missing? Before I could even finish the question, she said the answer is no. The pressure of the presidential campaign is off. Other Republican governors, Branstad, Kasich, Mike Pence, they've done it. What am I missing here?
A couple things. One, how many times have you seen Scott Walker change his mind or reverse himself?
Okay.
I mean, the one example I can think of where even like gave himself some room to change his mind was the Kenosha Casino, and he still got to no in the end, right? So, one, he's made up his mind. I don't want to do the expansion. Two, philosophically, he agrees with his, you know, he believes in this of no, we want to do this. He wants to expand coverage for those below the poverty line, mm-hmm. push others into Obamacare, into mm-hmm. the exchanges, and that's his approach. There's that. Thirdly, he believes that it's a temporary subsidy, like Kitty said, that in the long run, it'll cost you more because now they're at 90%, right, for the reimbursement?
Yeah, but it drops to 94.
95, whatever, it's going to keep dropping. They believe that over time, it'll keep dropping. So there are all those factors that go into it. And then the politically look at it, look, Walker's not done running for office, right? So he may run for president again. In fact, I think most people believe he will run for president again. It's a matter of when and what window might he have. If that happens, he still has a calling card of I fought Obamacare. You know, that's still going to be a potent issue 4 or 5 years from now, depending on what happens, you know, next fall. You never know. But if a Democrat wins and there's another window for run in 2020, there's still going to be talk about Obamacare probably in 2020. I mean, that's not what the governor is thinking, like, overtly, but that is also, look, politically, let's be honest about it.
But the numbers here intrigue me. That last Fiscal Bureau memo, which was, you know, months old, mm-hmm. we could gain an additional $350 million in federal aid if we expanded. We would add 86,000 people to our rolls of now 1.19 million, 21% of the population. So we could gain 350 at a time when we cut the UW budget, 250. So I just wonder why there isn't some reconsideration of expanding that.
And let's be honest, we don't have a revenue problem in Wisconsin, we have a Medicaid problem. If you look at revenue growth, we've been doing okay, but Medicaid can just eat up the new revenues, and it's going to eat it up again in the next budget. You know, that's, people are already talking about that, of how do we address the Medicaid and find money for schools and find money. It's going to be an issue.
Just a PS on that, of all the increase in GPR tax mm-hmm. collections, more than half of it in the current budget goes to Medicaid alone.
And Kitty, when she testified before Joint Finance back in March, I think it was, said she looks at demographic numbers for Wisconsin and they keep her awake at night because we are a graying state, getting older all the time, and those people are all going on to Medicaid. It's a booming expense.
As we get older, and some of those Medicaid patients cost $200,000, $300,000.
So that's an issue long term, and the Democrats have an issue of a we should be taking this money. It's a winner for them on the in polls that they look at. But for Governor Walker, again, it's not just about what's popular, but he believes this long-term is not a good investment. So he's going to stick to it.
But I want to stay on this issue for just one more thing. The budget directed Kitty to submit a waiver to the federal government to begin to lay the groundwork to slow some of the increases, mm-hmm. put a four-year limit on how long you could get MA and other changes. Well, here's my question. That waiver has not even been drafted. Mm-hmm. It's got to go to Joint Finance. Then it goes to the feds. What's your thought on the waiver process? Are we going to see that?
We're asking for lots of waivers these days. We want a waiver to be able to drug test people on food shares. That's in federal court right now.
Yep.
The feds, I think a week or two ago, asked the court to dismiss the Walker administration's preemptive lawsuit. And so there'll be lots of things that Walker wants to do that are go against the grain of the Obama administration, if you will. We'll see who the next president is. Maybe there's a bigger door open to do those things.
Yeah.
But when you're ticking off the numbers of people who are on the rolls, what's one of Walker's favorite lines of the campaign trail? It's not about success. It's not about people you have on the roll. It's when you get off the roll and into the private sector and into a job that have their own health insurance. That's one of his philosophical arguments. That's what you're going to hear from Governor Walker for the next year and a half, I'm sure.
Okay, but when I went to the DHS website, looking up the current caseload, 1.19 million is 55,000 more than they projected having on MA at this period. Okay, thanks. Thanks for wonking out with me, man. Okay, time for WisPolitics stock report rising.
Obviously, Paul Ryan had a good week.
Hail to the speaker.
Yes. Now, the real work begins now, all right? He's had the rah-rah moment. He's got the honeymoon going on right now. The question is, how do you keep that caucus together going forward? You have 80 members of the House Freedom Caucus, 60 of which I believe roughly wanted to endorse him.
70% of them.
Yes. 9 Republicans did not vote for him, which is not a bad number. You think about how that caucus operated. He did okay with that.
Yeah, he got 236 out of 245.
But what Boehner described the caucus as trying to keep a wheelbarrow full of frogs in the wheelbarrow down a football field. How do you do that? So the tests are going to be, when do they try and defund Obamacare? What are they trying to do? What big ticket item that conservatives want can he manage on the floor and get through? Is he going to empower chairs? What's he going to do to do that? Can he manage that caucus going forward? That's his challenge. But there's no doubt. I mean, the guy is now he has been a wonk star. He's now a full-fledged star on the D.C. scene. He is one of the most powerful people in the country.
Yeah.
In the free world.
I completely agree. Rising. Okay, mixed.
So graduation rates. We've been worried about this for years. Our graduation rate is going up in Wisconsin overall, but the gap between whites and blacks is getting bigger. The black graduation rate has stayed flat the last 2 years. The gap is not as bad between whites and Hispanics, Latinos and American Indians, but that race gap persists. It's been an issue we've been talking about for years, but it's just not getting any better. Tony Evers, announcing graduation rates this week, talked about the initiatives that he's been trying to work on. But at this point, you're not seeing a whole lot of progress on it.
Are you understating it, man? Isn't the gap the highest in Wisconsin?
It's the worst in the country.
In the nation?
Yes.
That's what I meant.
Between whites and blacks.
Sorry,
yes.
I said it poorly.
Yes.
It's the worst in the nation. There. Okay, and then falling.
Abortion. So Planned Parenthood announces this week that they are stopped abortion services at the Appleton Clinic. Now, if I remember correctly, nowhere north of Madison, Milwaukee can you receive an abortion in the state, or at least it's an option. You're seeing this kind of, now they say they're going to come back in 6 months. It's a temporary medical staffing issue, but you're seeing a gradual kind of like nick when it comes to abortion. Of the 20-week abortion ban was passed this year. They're still fighting in court to prevent the requirement that
you have
admitted privileges within 30 miles.
Medical privileges is a term.
That's still in courts. The fight with Planned Parenthood funding is still pending for the legislature. All these things happening right now that are kind of gradually eroding that, and they're victories for the anti-abortion folks. Let's be honest. You know, they want to see this, and abortions are down overall in Wisconsin. They've been dropping for years and went down again last year.
I think that's a good call. Okay. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for October 30th.